You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host. And I need to bring all of our listeners up to speed about an important new book that everyone should get their hands on. It's called Jesus Hates Religion, Finding Grace in a Works-Driven Culture. And it's written by Alex Hamaya, who's an Oklahoma pastor. He's a founder and senior pastor of thechurch.at. Some of our listeners will be familiar with the church at Battle Creek in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. It's one of the fastest-growing churches in America. And Alex joins us in this edition of Messenger Insight. How are you?
Great. Fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Now, I was excited to get my copy, and I did something, Alex, I don't usually do. I read the whole book in one setting. I had a day of travel, and I just plowed through everything. I couldn't stop reading it. But the first question I wanted to ask is why did you choose the title Jesus Hates Religion?
Well, clearly it's an attention grabber.
Yes.
And, you know, it gets people's attention. But I think the message is that poignant, that we got to say it strong, because the doctrine of grace probably is the most neglected doctrine in the New Testament church today. I think to the point that when you begin to teach biblical grace and the amazing grace of God, people who've been in their church the whole lives will say, what? I mean, that can't be right. You know, and that's not what I was taught, and, you know, that's not what I believe. And you go look at Scripture and you realize it. So I think it's important to understand I define religion as a man-made path to God. And any time that you and I look at the distance between us and God caused by sin, and we think, I can fix that, or I can right that wrong, or somehow I can, you know, do enough good things to build a box that I could stand up on, that somehow I could reach God, that's religion. And in its core, it's pride and it's arrogance. And quite honestly, it keeps us from the intimate relationship with God that Jesus died to provide for us. And so I just have to believe with all my heart, Jesus hates that, because he wants us to have that intimate relationship with him.
Amen. There's a lot I like about what you said in the book and the format. It was a heart-to-heart communication. You have stories throughout that are memorable, that really sink into your mind. One quote that I thought you established kind of your premise really well at the beginning of the book, you said, when I say Jesus hates religion, I'm not saying that God hates the church. He loves the church. He created it. I thought you defined your terms really well, and evidently this started out almost as a sermon or a sermon series, and you all had a website, and then you were able to fold in some of the comments you got into the book. Talk about that a little bit, the idea of it, and then the reactions you saw on the website.
Well, and probably in 2004, I preached through Galatians, and we called it Graceland, and themed the whole thing around Elvis, you know, in Memphis. And, you know, several years later, 2009, we wanted to reteach that. And so, you know, we just began to think, how would we package that? And how would we draw it to? And we came up with Jesus Hates Religion. And so we put up a billboard, one billboard in Tulsa that said JesusHatesReligion.com. And that's all it said. It didn't talk about the church or a sermon series or any of that. And so we put up a website, and I don't remember the number. It was astronomical. The number, I mean, tens of thousands of hits a day, that from the one billboard in Tulsa, and people were grateful all the way to irate, you know. And so it became a social experiment where, you know, people, this was long before Twitter and Facebook and all, you know, were really big. And so there was a social experiment there that we did, and so we were able to capture the comments and use them as we began each message and communicating what people were thinking and how they were reacting to it. And so that was all the way back in 2009.
Yes.
That we did that. So it took years to put it into a book form, and here we are.
Well, it's really well done, and you have some stories in there. the whitewater rafting story is one that jumped out to me, and that phrase helped me. Could you take us back through that a little bit?
Sure, sure. You know, I've done youth camps for a long time. I probably was a youth when I started doing youth camps. But one of my favorite places to go is called Horns Creek, which is outside of Cleveland, Tennessee, and it's on the Ocoee River. And one of the things we do with kids during rec time is to go raft the Ocoee River, which is a whole lot of fun to whitewater raft. And to make a long, long, long story just long, we rafted the river, and at the end, because I was the camp pastor, I went with the youth pastor, and we stopped at this Class 4 rapid that was called Hell's Hole, and which, you know, the whole setup of that I tell in the book is, you know, that the guide that was leading our raft and steering our raft scared the mess out of all of us, that if, you know, if you fall in the water in Hell's Hole, you're gonna die. And the one Class 4 rapid, and you will go under the water, and you will be under the water for a minute or two, but don't panic. And so, you know, that's where we decided to set the video up, because anybody who's involved in youth camps knows that you got to have great video and highlights of, you know, what's happening, and then somebody going underwater, or somebody getting hurt, or a belly flop, or whatever is, you know, exactly what you want on the video. And so we stopped at Hell's Hole to watch people fall out, and I'll never forget the Baywatch meets Dukes of Hazzard lifeguards that were there in their cutoff jeans and you know, the orange buoy around their chiseled out, you know, abs and chest. And as we watched them, a kid fell out of the boat and screamed, you know, and then went under the water, you know, and mm-hmm. His scream was muffled, and you know, a few minutes later, hundreds of yards down the river, he comes up, and the lifeguards did nothing. And so that story was repeated over and over and over again. But then there was a lady who fell out of the boat, and a man who fell out of the boat later, and they yelled, "Help me!" And you know, they moved so quickly. I mean, it was like a rodeo star. I mean, it was just a matter of seconds before they had those guys out of the water. And it was fascinating. But, you know, at the end of that whole journey of watching these people fall out of the boat and some be saved and some not be saved, we asked him, "Well, I don't understand how you decide who to save." And his answer was a life changer for me, as I've pondered it over the years, was, "Well, there's two words that we hear. I mean, when people are screaming, we're assuming they're having fun, just like somebody on a roller coaster. You know, we wouldn't get somebody off of a roller coaster who was screaming. Mm-hmm. We think they paid to ride the ride, and they're having a great time. But when people yell, 'Help me,' we go into action." Mm-hmm. And I just think that's a great picture of how God is with us, and that when we come naked with nothing to offer, fully surrendered, he jumps into our lives. And I think in the doctrine of grace, particularly in the evangelical church and the evangelical world, I think most, if not, well, many, if not most churches get the grace that comes at salvation, and they get it right, and they understand that we're saved by grace through faith, and it's not of works, you know, lest we should boast, or, you know, and it's a gift of God, not for what we've done. But from that point forward is where legalism just is so deceitful and slips in, that I'm saved by grace, but from the time I'm saved all the way to heaven, now somehow it's dependent upon me.
What I like, you said this quote, "A person is saved by grace, but they also have to live by grace." And yeah. That gets at what you're talking about in that story, of course, at the moment yeah. of salvation, but thereafter. And you talk in contrast relationship versus rules following. And why do you think, Alex, we see our culture so works-driven, so away from the grace we find in God?
Well, because we just can't accept that when it comes to a relationship with God that we have nothing to offer. Mm. You know, I write in the book that you know, that it starts when we're babies, you know, and our parents applauding our first step and cheering us on, and that somehow we think it's about our effort, and we're conditioned in our culture. And you know what? That's true in almost every arena of life, that you reap what you sow. That's true in education. It's true in employment. It's true in sports. You know, I mean, that you reap what you sow. But in the gospel, we get to reap what we didn't sow. And so it's so contrary because it runs in the face of every other arena in life. And I think that's why it's so difficult to swallow.
I think that's spot on. We're talking to Alex Hamaya, author of Jesus Hates Religion. Now, at the beginning of the book, you talk about some of the tensions going on in a discussion like that, that people have preconceived notions about good religion, bad religion, you yourself as a pastor being in the church, you know, having what some would call a religious vocation. You talk about James 1:27, where we see a positive connotation of religion. But then you point out, using the scripture, how Christ himself was on a collision course with the religious experts of the day. And I think we see that in our culture, too. What kind of reactions are you getting now that the book is out? Are there any initial conversations or reactions happening?
Yeah, it's all over the map, it's just like it was the first time we preached it in 2004, you know, and 2009. The yesterday or day before, Fox News ran me on the front page, and I don't remember the last time the publicist told me it had like 2,500 likes and
wow,
600 shares and hundreds and hundreds, 600 plus comments, and he told me, he said, we really believe that the viewership on that op-ed was a million people, and which is crazy. So you put anything like out there, you know, for a million people,
yeah,
then you're going to get comments all over the map. And quite honestly, I started to read the comments the other day, and the first 12 were just so ridiculous. And they had nothing to do with it. It had nothing. I mean, it was just somebody being silly and throwing something out there that had nothing to do with it. And so I just decided I'm not reading them. But the reaction has been all over the map. But God is using it. I mean, we're getting emails from people all over the place that are calling and saying thank you, you know, for teaching this so clearly and writing this so clearly. God's amazing grace is setting me free, and for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm not under this burden, which is just, that's what the gospel is all about.
Well, your heart for helping people find God's grace in a works-driven culture shows through. And I was, quick personal story, I was reading this book on the airplane, and the gentleman next to me saw the title and was very intrigued, and it led to really a brief discussion. I hardly said anything at all, and the conversation ended by him saying, you know, I probably do need to get back into church.
Wow.
He had been alienated by organized religion, and he had a, you know, what he would think is the start of a relationship with Christ, and he realized in that moment that he needed to get back. So I was one of those million viewers of your FoxNews.com article, I'm proud to say, and others should be as well. Check it out online. Google Alex Hamaya, H-I-M-A-Y-A, Jesus Hates Religion, and you can get the book through your local bookstore or online. Alex, thank you for coming on Messenger Insight and telling us a little bit more about your heart for this issue and what you were intending with the book.
Yeah, it's been good. I appreciate the conversation. If we can help you in any way, you let us know.
God bless, Alex. Thanks again.
Have a great day. Thank you.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.